The sound of a bathroom mirror fogging up while you're in the shower is more than just a minor annoyance. It is the sound of moisture settling into your drywall, your wooden studs, and eventually, the very structure of your home. I remember walking into a guest bathroom a few years back and seeing those telltale yellow beads of moisture weeping down the walls. It looked like the house was sweating, and in a way, it was. That is why we are standing here today, looking up at that blank patch of ceiling. We are going to install a bathroom vent fan. And while it might seem like a daunting task to cut a hole in your own house, I am going to walk you through every vibration of the saw and every click of the wiring until that steam has a clear path out of your life. Before we even reach for a tool, I want you to understand what we are actually trying to accomplish. A vent fan isn't just a spinning blade in a plastic box. It is a lungs for your bathroom. We are creating a vacuum that pulls heavy wet air out and pushes it through a duct and eventually out through a vent in your roof or your gable wall. If we don't get this right, all we're doing is moving the mold from the bathroom wall into the attic, and that is a much more expensive problem to fix later on. You want to think of this as a continuous path of travel. If there is a kink in the hose or a gap in the seal, the moisture wins. We aren't going to let the moisture win today. I learned the hard way about being too confident with my measurements during my very first solo fan install. I was young, maybe 22, and I figured I could just eyeball the center of the room from the attic side. I climbed up into that hot, itchy insulation, found what I thought was the right spot between the joists, and started cutting. When I hopped back down the ladder and walked into the bathroom, I realized I had cut the hole directly through the top of a decorative crown molding piece I'd spent 3 days installing the week before. I had to replace the entire length of molding and patch a hole that never should have been there. It taught me that in this trade, 5 minutes of double-checking your math saves you 5 hours of fixing a mistake. Now, I always poke a tiny pilot hole or a finishing nail through the ceiling from the bathroom side first. That little silver tip poking up through the attic floor is a lighthouse. It tells me exactly where I am, so I never have to guess. Now that we have our bearings, let's talk about what you're going to feel and hear as we get started. You'll want to have a few specific things within arm's reach. You'll need a drywall saw, which has those deep, aggressive teeth made for biting into plaster and gypsum. You'll need a drill, some wire strippers, and a roll of foil duct tape. Notice I said foil tape, not the silver cloth duct tape you use for fixing a broken plastic bin. In the HVAC world, that cloth tape eventually dries out and falls off because of the heat. Foil tape is actual metal, with a sticky back, and once you smooth it down with your thumb, it creates a permanent, airtight seal that handles the heat and moisture of a shower for decades. Safety is something I don't just talk about. I live it. Before we even think about touching the electrical box, we are going to the main breaker panel. I don't care if the light switch is off. Switches can be wired incorrectly, or someone could walk into the room and flip it while your fingers are on the copper. Find the breaker labeled bathroom, flip it to the off position, and then go back into the bathroom and try to turn the light on. When nothing happens, you know you're safe. I also like to wear a good pair of safety glasses and a mask. When you start cutting into that ceiling, years of dust and attic debris are going to come raining down directly into your face. There is nothing quite as distracting as a piece of blown-in insulation falling into your eye while you're trying to steady a power tool. We start by placing the housing of the fan against the ceiling. Most of these kits come with a cardboard template, which is handy, but I prefer using the actual metal box of the fan itself. Hold it up there and trace around it with a pencil. You want that line to be crisp. When you pick up your drywall saw, don't be afraid of it. Press the pointed tip against the drywall and give the handle a firm tap with the heel of your hand. you'll hear a dull thud as it punches through. As you start sawing, you'll feel a rhythmic resistance. Drywall is soft, but it's gritty. If the saw suddenly stops or feels like it's bouncing, stop immediately. You might have hit a wooden joist or worse, an electrical wire. Just back the saw out, peek inside with a flashlight, and adjust. Once that rectangular chunk of drywall drops out, catch it so it doesn't shatter on the floor. Now you're looking into the skeleton of your home. You'll see the wooden joists, which are the horizontal beams holding up your ceiling. Our fan needs to be screwed directly into one of these. It gives the motor a solid foundation, so it doesn't vibrate and rattle every time you turn it on. If you hear a fan that sounds like a jet engine taking off, it's usually because it wasn't secured tightly to the wood. Slide the fan housing into the hole. You might have to wiggle it a bit. You want it to be a snug fit, like a hand in a glove. Reach up with your drill and drive those long wood screws through the mounting brackets and into the side of the joist. You'll feel the drill tighten up, and the fan will stop moving. Give it a little shake with your hand. It should feel like it's part of the house now. Next, we have to deal with the ductwork. This is the part people often rush, but it's the most important for the health of your attic. You'll be connecting a flexible silver tube to the side of the fan. This tube is going to carry that wet air outside. When you slide the duct over the plastic exhaust port on the fan, you'll hear a crinkling sound. Pull it tight. You don't want any extra slack or loops in the line, because every bend in that pipe makes the fan work harder and run louder. Take that foil tape we talked about and wrap it around the connection point at least twice. Press it down firmly with your fingers until you can see the texture of the plastic underneath. That tells you the seal is perfect. Now we move to the electrical. This is where people get the most nervous, but if the power is off, it's just like a puzzle. Inside the fan housing, you'll see a small metal partition with a few wires tucked inside. Usually, they are color-coded. Black for the power, white for the neutral, and a bare copper or green wire for the ground. You're going to bring the house wire, which is that thick white or yellow cable coming through your ceiling, into the fan's electrical box. Use your wire strippers to peel back about half an inch of the plastic coating on each wire. You'll see the shiny copper underneath. Twist the black wire from the house to the black wire from the fan using a plastic wire nut. Twist it until the wires start to braid together slightly. That ensures a solid connection that won't wiggle loose over time. Do the same for the white wires and the ground. Once they are all connected, tuck them neatly back into the metal box and screw the cover plate back on. It should click into place, hiding all the guts of the machine. The final physical step is the easiest, but the most satisfying. Grab the plastic grill, which is the part you'll actually see from the bathroom floor. Most of these use two metal torsion springs. They look like large V-shaped wires. Squeeze the legs of the V together and slide them into the small slots on the fan housing. You'll feel a bit of tension as the springs try to pull back. Push the grill up toward the ceiling and it will snap into place, sitting flush against the drywall. If there's a small gap, just pull it down an inch and let the springs pull it back up again to seat it properly. Now we walk back to the breaker panel. This is the moment of truth. Flip that switch back to the on position. You might hear a faint hum from the wires, but usually it's silent until you get back to the bathroom. Walk into the room and flip the wall switch. You should hear a low, steady whirring sound. It shouldn't be a grind or a rattle. It should sound like a gentle breeze. If you want to test if it's actually working, take a single square of toilet paper and hold it up toward the grill. If the fan is doing its job, the suction will grab that paper and hold it against the plastic. That's the feeling of success. Take a second to look around. You've just successfully navigated the electrical, the structural, and the ventilation systems of your home. you've created a path for moisture to leave, and in doing so, you've protected your home from the silent rot that steam can cause. The next time you take a hot shower and you see that fan spinning, you won't just see a plastic vent. You'll remember the feel of the drywall saw, the sticky grip of the foil tape, and the satisfaction of knowing you did it right. You've moved from being someone who just lives in a house to someone who knows how to maintain it. That's a good feeling to have. Clean up your tools, sweep up that drywall dust, and enjoy a bathroom that finally knows how to breathe again.